I just, you know, we're singing that song, and there's a couple of, there were several songs that we sang this morning, and just so many things came to my heart and to my mind, and we'll get in the Word in just a minute, but I was thinking about that line that all that have gone before us, all that have gone before us, and we're not, I mean, it's talking about generational, all the way back to, you know, Adam and Eve, all the way forward. But just in our experience, in our life, right? I'm thinking about Ronnie, right? I'm thinking about my friend Gary. I'm thinking about so many that have gone on, you know, Gib, and just different ones over and over again. I don't want to name all of them, but I'm just thinking. I wonder, you know, if they just peek down and worship, you know, when we're worshiping. Hey, I want to go to a new beginning this morning and just worship with them. Right? And so they begin to just join in. And especially when we go, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Right? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And all of them. And I think some of them would just rush down to us and knock us upside the head and say, hey, you're worried about too many things that don't have any eternal significance. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your own, and that last song, the last song is just so beautiful. But I remember when I got saved. And I grew up in Catholic church, right? You know, all of that, and knew about God, but I didn't know God. But then I got saved. And sometimes I say it this way, when I got saved, I got saved. Amen. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I've noticed some people who get saved and it doesn't really affect them as much as it did me. And I'm not comparing you against me. I'm just telling you my experience. But when I got saved, He came to me. And the first night I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Spoke in a tongue. I knew nothing about tongues, knew nothing about anything. But I received this language and I went home and I was on my knees in the kitchen. Never forget, I was looking out the kitchen window. It was just a small little kitchen. But the window was looking east and the moon was up, but what I remember is for 45 minutes or so, all I was doing, hallelujah, hallelujah, and praying in these tongues that I didn't know anything about, hallelujah. But what I felt was an incredible presence of God, right? He's the one that I know. He's the one that, you know, and how precious it is to be in His presence, right? Forget about everything else. And there are times when life just steamrolls you almost, right? And it's, Lord, I need to find back at that place where I was just on my knees worshiping You. Not caring about anything else but being in Your presence. I didn't know anything else. I knew nothing of His Word, nothing of anything. But I knew Him. Let me say that again. I knew nothing about nothing, but I knew Him. Because He came to me and made Himself known to me. So good. So good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This month has been about renewing your mind and renewing your mind for change. And we've stated that unless you change your thinking, nothing will change. Right, and when I say change your thinking, I'm not talking about just your moment by moment thought. I'm talking about your hard drive for thought. Your hard, and if you just look at it this way, sometimes our thoughts are just software that's exploding. But the core of who we are, we're wired or hardwired certain way. If you were hardwired selfish, then you're going to be selfish until you change your thinking and deny yourself and follow Jesus, right? And by the way, all of us are selfish. Big revelation. I'm not selfish. Yes, you are. Why? Because you think of yourself first. And I get it. I mean, that's who I look at in the mirror every morning. Right. When my thumb gets smashed in a car door, I'm thinking about me. Right. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God wants to take us beyond ourselves and get us to the place where we think of Him first. We think of Him first in everything. So let's go back to our theme verse, and we read it already this morning, but I want to read it again. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. How many know we're in the world? We live in the world. We live in the world system. The world system is all around us. But the word says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? I traveled in Europe when I was a young man. And I was in Europe, but I wasn't of Europe. I was an American. I was in Europe, but I wasn't of Europe. See, you're in the world. This is where you are currently. This is where you're living your life, but you're not of the world. This is not your home. The Bible says that you're an alien. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I titled this message, Refocus, Recenter, and Renew. Refocus, Recenter, and Renew. So in other words, we need to put our focus on something besides ourselves. Hello? And then we have to recenter our whole thinking to put Jesus in the middle of it. Right? And then we have to renew our minds so that our thoughts line up with this new position. Are you with me? So be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many took math classes? Right, in school? Do you remember on the math classes that there was a part of the book that you could turn to, and every other answer, the answer was in the back of the book? Right? Right? Remember that? Well, the teacher would never accept just the answer. He wanted you to prove, or she wanted you to prove the answer. So you couldn't put the answer down. You had to put the whole problem down so that they knew that you knew how to get to the answer. Right? See, we need to find God in such a way that we know Him and that we get to the answer by proving out what His will is. And the way that you do that is you have a relationship with Him and His Word. Are you with me? Him and His Word is so good. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And this is going to be a little bit different this morning, but how many know that a quarter has two sides? And so it is with many things, that there's two sides to it. I'm really big in finding out who you are in Christ. In fact, that's what all of next year, unless the Lord changes it, we're going to find out about our identity in Christ, who we are. Right. And there's a part of our identity in Christ that this is who He's made us to be. But also we have to balance that on the other side of the quarter with who God is and what His standards are. And if we want to recenter or refocus our thinking so that it affects our behavior, we have to put first place, this is who God is. Are you with me? These are His standards. And I'm going to make His standards my standards, whether they make sense or not. Whether they line up with my thinking, whether they seem beneficial to me, if they cost me everything, I'm going to put His standards first. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. In Proverbs chapter 1, the first proverb, On the first verse, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's other verses say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I wanted to put a couple of definitions out there. The fear of the Lord is a sense of awe, humility, submission to God, humble recognition. What does that mean? That means that if I'm reading the Word of God and my behavior is such a way, or my thinking or my upbringing, or if any thought comes to me that's against what I'm reading, then I have to humble myself to the reading. If I fear God, then I'm going to say, well, my opinion doesn't really matter a lot. And especially in our society that we're living in today, we have to make a determination that I am going to stand on God's side even if everybody says I'm crazy. And you know, 40 years ago, making that commitment wasn't as dangerous as it is today, because there was no cost with it. Why? Because we lived in a nation that was more God-fearing than not, but now we aren't. So we have to make a determination that God is first, and I'm going to put Him first place in my life. And I'm not going to adjust my theology to match the trends in society, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God, because that's the center or my focus. To fear God is to stand in awe of who He is, but that all knowledge has to line up with what He said. Are you with me? The fear of the Lord. I want to know Him. I want to fear Him. And again, not that I'm afraid or quaking in my boots, but listen to me. If we don't know God, if there's people out there who don't know Jesus as their Savior, they ought to be afraid, and very afraid. And if we live our lives in such a way that we are ignoring the principles of God, there should be a godly fear in our heart against what the results of that are going to be. Come on. The Bible says this, it's a bad thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. God is love. He is complete love. But in love, there's anger. Let me just give you an example of that. From this standpoint, I love my wife. If you come into my house to harm my wife, I'm going to get really angry and do whatever is necessary to keep you from harming her. Are you with me? That's a righteous anger. God has a righteous anger. And sometimes, especially in these days with theologians and people who are trying to reconstruct their faith to make Jesus into who they find an image for so that it meets their thinking, we have to recenter and refocus and recommit to the fact that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what He said yesterday, He meant yesterday. What He said yesterday, He means today. And He's going to mean again tomorrow. And He never changes. So how do we know what God thinks? We read it in His Word. He never changes. Now watch this. This is so good. Wisdom is the ability to live skillfully. Wisdom is the ability, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord and putting God in His proper place in our lives, in our thinking, in our focus, is the beginning of learning how to live a life on purpose for God forever. Are you with me? So it's kind of like, I am committed to Him. And today's pressure could get you thinking off in many different ways. It can get you thinking ways that you shouldn't be thinking. But God never changes. Amen. He's for us, right? He's not against us. But His Word remains true. I want to look at a couple of things. And then when I'm looking at this, think about your thinking and your perspective. And what we've allowed to come into our thinking that begins to compromise where we really want to be. Because you see, a little bit of compromise will lead to a little bit more compromise, to a little more compromise, to a little more compromise, to a little more, until you're, how did I get here? Anybody ever had those moments? How did I get here? Right? I'll just tell you an example and correlate it. When Micah was 15, my son, Renita's mom gave us a car, so we flew down to Colorado to get it and drive back. Well, so I drove back, Michael and I drove back, and we drove straight through, and it's like a 26-hour drive. And there's reasons why we drove through, but here's the point. Is it got into Oregon, right? And we're driving through, and I saw this sign that said Richland. And I thought, this has got to be an absolute shortcut. And by this time, we're tired. And so we get off of this, and we're driving and driving and driving. And remember, hadn't had sleep for a long time, driving and driving and driving, driving down this road, closer and closer and closer. Finally, we get to Richland, Oregon. So we'd driven 45 minutes or an hour out of our way in this trip that we're driving straight through to get to Richland, Oregon. If I would have just been thinking correctly, I would have stayed with the map that said keep going straight. But because I compromised what the map said, I ended up in Richland, Oregon. As a side note, I scared my son coming back up through those canyons because I was mad and I was driving fast to get back on track. Right? Here's the point. Is that if we're off track and we start to compromise what we know that God has said, then we can wind up in Richland, Oregon. And have to get back. And we go, how did I get here? I got here because I quit following the map. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And look at verse 10. It says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from a man who speaks perverse things. When wisdom enters your heart, in other words, when you get knowledge of God and that becomes the absolute center of your thinking, it's going to change everything. It's going to keep you from doing certain things and it's going to motivate you to do other things and your whole thought process will be filtered through, thus saith the Lord. Are you with me? And it'll deliver you from the perverse things of the world. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it seems like, now God, this seems a little bit strange because it seems like they're winning. or how it seems like they're happier, or it seems like they get more, or how come? And you just got to get back to the focus of saying, no, Lord, at the end of the day, you're right and they're wrong. And I'm not living my life for the for gratification of tomorrow. I'm living my life out of the swell of love that I have for you, and the fact that I'm going to live with you forever and ever in eternity in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. That's the story about Jehoshaphat, but I want to get to a couple of different verses. Look at verse 7. And this is Jehoshaphat, a righteous judge, and he's saying, "Now therefore let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there's no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality or nor taking bribes." He's that same God. He's not up there compromising. He's not up there saying, well, you know, I thought that, you know, this sin was wrong yesterday, but today I'm just changed my mind. He's the same. If he said it was wrong then, it's still wrong. Are you with me? Why is this important? Because there's a whole society out there saying that, listen, just love everybody. And by that it means tolerate everybody. And I'm not in a position to judge whether I tolerate somebody or not. What I'm saying is, you do you, because you'll have to answer to God. But for me, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is what he said, and this is what is right, and that's it. So you have to have that perspective. And I'm going to bring it home a little bit in a minute. Verse 8 says, "Moreover in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief priests of Israel when Jerusalem returned to Jerusalem. And then he commanded them, saying, 'Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart.'" What I'm talking about this morning is living our, and on purpose saying, I will live my life out in an awe of God and a reverence for his holiness. And I'm going to live out my life in such a way that I'm an example to those who are not with him, that there's a different way to live, and it's not costly, it pays great dividends. Why? Because there's joy, there's peace. I believe that right now we're in a place in our country where there are people who are looking for answers. And I want to tell you that the answer for everything is Jesus. Is Jesus. And we back off from that, but we have to continue to say, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And how can we say that? We can say that by saying, Jesus has done this for me. And Jesus did this for me. And Jesus caused me. And we can begin, because we haven't, absolutely have not compromised our position in Christ. Are you with me? Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 20, and I'm kind of short on time, but it talks about the Ten Commandments. How many know the Ten Commandments? How many can name the Ten Commandments? I got a couple. I'll bet Lila and Joan can, because Miss Fanny, she would go over them and over them and over them. When I was doing, I did preteen class with her, and for a year, it seemed like every Wednesday night, we were going over one of the Ten Commandments. And she had the paper charts, remember? The flannel graphs and all of that about the Ten Commandments. But do you know the Ten Commandments are still applicable today? Now here, watch this. It's not a law that I have to keep all of those in order to get to God, because we found out we can't. that Jesus fulfilled them, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have idols before you. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't steal, or you shouldn't covet, or you shouldn't commit adultery, or you shouldn't on and on and on. It's like we need to take those. Watch, when America was a God-fearing country, those were in the courthouse. Those were in the schoolyard. And it didn't say you have to worship God in our way, but this is the standard of our thinking. This is the core of what we believe, that these things are right. Yes. Now look at this, and sometimes it's so easy to do. In our own hearts, and we can get off-center by saying, well, you know, yeah, I lied, but it's just a little lie. I didn't tell the whole truth, but it was, you know, but it was easier. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. You just compromised. And we have to get back to the thinking that, Lord, it's kind of easy for me to lie because I've always lied, and it's sometimes gotten easier to lie, and it's gotten me out of a lot of things, but Lord, I'm refusing to do that anymore because you said, don't bear false witness. Don't bear false witness. So I'm going to, and this has to be the recenter or the refocus. I am going to stand in the truth and for the truth no matter what it costs me. I'm talking about renewing our mind to live a life that's pleasing to God and that is full of joy and peace. But unless we recenter it to the fact that God, if you said it, that settles it for me. I'm no longer going to compromise. If it says don't live in adultery, I'm not going to live in adultery. If it says don't covet my neighbor's wife or his goods, I refuse to covet. In fact, if God blesses you, even though I wish he'd bless me the same way, he hasn't chosen to do that. But I'm going to rejoice for you. Right? And I'm not going to compare myself with you. Why? Because I'm focused. I'm centered in these particular scriptures. Are you with me? Refocused. Recentered. Come on. Renewed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Galatians. What? Actually, go to Deuteronomy. I'm trying to hurry, but Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And let's go to verse 12. It says, now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. In other words, we have to take the Word of God and make that the focus and the center of our whole lives. And if anything in our thinking or anything in our background or anything violates that, if society is telling us something different, we have to say, sorry. Sorry. God first. And He and His Word are one. And I'm going to follow His Word. And I'm not going to compromise. Compromise kills me. And all of us have been in situations where we've allowed compromise to come in. And you know what the result of that is? There's a couple of different things that happen. First of all, if you have a sensitive heart toward God, you feel like, I disobeyed God and I let him down. See, if you really love God, you don't want to let him down. You don't want to put him in a position where he's disappointed in your behavior. God is never okay with you violating his word. His mercy covers it, and I'm so glad that it does, and he'll help you to get where you need to be. But a fear of God says, God, I never want to disappoint you. I remember a time I was a kid, and a friend of mine, he convinced me, it's all his fault, he convinced me to walk up to White Center, it was about half a mile or a mile from our house, and go, and he was going to buy us a milkshake. Good idea, let's go up. So we went up, had this milkshake. That was when you had to sit down in a restaurant to get a good one. And so we went up and we came back, and my dad happened to be across the street helping the neighbor do something. Hey, Bruce, yeah, come on over. I said, okay, hi, Dad, how you doing? Where you been? See, he'd had a friend up in White Center that saw me up in White Center, and he called him. And he said, what are you doing up in White Center? Now, listen to my heart. I respected my dad. I had an awe of my dad. And to see in him that I'd violated his trust tore me apart. So it motivated me never to do that again. See, what I'm saying is that when our reverence and our fear of God puts us to the point where, God, I never want to do anything that would hurt your heart. And I can put a tie into that when I lie, when I steal, when I cheat, when I bear false witness, when I'm ugly to my wife, or when I'm, you know, any of those things, when I'm mad at my kids and I get too angry, or any of those things, Lord, those violate your word. And God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of living a skillful, loved life. So, Lord, I'm going to back that down and do whatever I need to do to change my thinking so that that's not who I am anymore, because my mind has been renewed to His Word. Are you with me? Look at verse 20. It says, you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve Him. To Him you shall hold fast and take oath in His name. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done for you these great things and awesome things which your eyes have seen. What has God done for you? If nothing else, He delivered you from your fate of being in hell forever without Him. Woo! Glory to God. I'm on my way to heaven, and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. You're not if you compromise. So again, I'm talking about renewing your mind. And in this, we talked about Christian meditation and putting your thoughts where they need to be and getting thinking about His Word over and over and over and over again. And as David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sin is still sin. Sin is not okay. Well, God understands. Tell yourself, whenever that thought comes, to shut up. Because that thought is giving you license to walk away from what God has put in your heart. And not just the standard, watch this, but who you are in Christ. You don't walk that way because that's not how Jesus walked. And if that's not how Jesus walked, that's not how I walk, because I'm in Christ. Are you with me? I am in Christ, and that's my motivation for living the rest of my life. That means that I want to walk in His privilege and everything that He's paid for me, but it also means that I refuse to walk in a way that dishonors Him. So we need to refocus, we need to recenter, we need to renew, and quit making excuses. Quit denying. Quit blaming others. Hallelujah. Just like my mom used to say when I used to say, well, Mikey did it. She'd tell me, I'm not Mikey's mom. And Dugans don't act like that. Neither did Mikey's mom. But that's a whole different story. because she'd get on me too. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to close with this. Y'all getting anything today? Amen, amen, amen. It's about refocusing. It's about recentering. And if our life isn't living up to His, what we know in our hearts already is the right thing, what's keeping us out of His presence, here in Your presence, like Anita, she said, she was in practice, she was saying, I've been singing this song and I just keep crying and crying and crying and crying and crying because it's in Your presence that I want to be. Whew. Knowing that living a life outside of His presence by doing things you're not supposed to do, that He's already given you the power to overcome, it keeps us from His presence. We can get right back there by repentance, by the way, and we can get right back there by saying, oh Lord, that was stupid thinking, that was stupid action. Forgive me, God. I'm running back to You. I'm coming back home. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the center. I'm coming back to the fact that Jesus loves me and that I'm right with You. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. Our flesh wants our neighbor to love us like we're the special one. And Jesus said, listen, you're already bathed in love. You've already been accepted in the beloved. You've got to know that as far as God is concerned, He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. The price was huge. He loves you. He loves you. If you're secure in that, you can lay your life down at His feet. And no matter what happens to you, you can say, I'm going to live my life for Him. And I'm going to love my neighbor just as He loved me. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. The recenter is, my center is back on Him being the primary focus of my life. Whatever He said, I'll do. Whatever He wants is what I want. If it costs me friends, if it costs me everything, if I love Him, I'll do what He says. Amen? Yeah. Did you get something this morning? I hope you got it online. I hope you're listening online and look at if you're caught up in something. If there's something you're living in your life that's not right, don't get so freaked out about it that there's no use. Because Jesus paid the price. And He said because of the precious blood of Jesus that we have power over sin and death. It's a lie that I can't quit. It's a lie that I can't quit lying. It's a lie that I can't quit doing things that violate His word. It's a lie that says, well, you know, I'm just Irish and I've got red hair, so I have to be angry. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. I have to use those words because I'm in the world and, you know, that's just how we get along. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal because you know it is. You know it when it first came out of your mouth. And when it first came out of your mouth, you went. But then the next time you went. And then the next time you went. And then the next time, didn't even think about it. But you knew at the beginning. Because that spirit inside of you bore witness that's not the way a Christian acts. That's not the way a Jesus follower acts. Whew. Okay, I'll quit. I love Jesus. I said, I love Jesus. He's the center. He's my everything. He's what I want in my life. He's the one that I want my life to please. Because I fear Him. Father, I thank You for everybody that's listening, everybody that's watched online. Lord, I ask You to bless them and just show them, Father, that You're for them. And Father, anything that we violated, it's just been a lie and the devil's been able to get into our flesh and cause that to be coming out. But right now, Father, for all those that are online and those that are listening in the room, Father, we just lay our lives again back down at Your feet. We commit our lives to you, Father, in that we declare that Jesus is Lord over my life and over my thoughts and over my actions. I refuse to live for me 1 minute more. Father, I thank you for turning us back to you. And Father, if it takes us being on our knees, on our face, on the altar, whatever, we're through with pride and keeping us from you. It's all about you. So this morning, we release our lives to you. And we say, like Paul said, Lord, that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. If you're watching online, just surrender everything to him. Surrender your temper. Surrender your lust. Surrender everything. Surrender your heart to him and recenter it back to Jesus. Thank you for watching. Father, in Jesus' name, bless him. If you don't know Jesus, just say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe in my heart, so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who paid the price for my sins. He's the one who took care of all of the things that were wrong in my life. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I will serve you, Father, through the blood of Jesus. If you did that, your eternity just changed. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.